Hello, I'm Carolyn Baines from Farnham Quakers, and I just want to welcome you to this Centering Down with Compassion podcast. Centering down is a term some Quakers use to describe the process of coming into stillness. And each month, we take one of the 42 short paragraphs that Quakers use to help them explore different aspects of a spiritual life. And these are referred to in the rather quaint term of advices and queries. So our group is open to anyone who would like to explore ways into stillness and community. And if you want to get in touch, please visit farnham.quakermeeting.org. I hope you enjoy.
So this evening we're looking at number 29, advice and queries number 29. So as always, I'll invite you just to relax, take a breath, center down, and let the words just kind of slosh around you. Approach old age with courage and hope. As far as possible, make arrangements for your care and good time so that an undue burden does not fall on others. Although old age may bring increasing disability and loneliness, it can also bring serenity, detachment, and wisdom. Pray that in your final years you may be enabled to find new ways of receiving and reflecting God's love. Such a lovely image of that, of being like a mirror, you know, receiving the light, reflecting it out. So we'll just sort of circle back to that first sentence, approach old age with courage and hope. I mean, you know, how? How do you do that? That seems right there such a big ask. And I love the courage. It's come from the French cœur, I think. It means heart. So how can we not lose heart and somehow continue forward, hopefully? I think, you know, when we're younger, hopefully, you know, when a cold hits or we get ill, we know, hopefully, that this will pass, going to soon recover. And perhaps we can learn about impermanence, that things arise and they pass away. But with old age, unless we've learned the lessons of impermanence at a really deep level, I think it can feel, I don't know, quite easily, I imagine, move to despair. Thinking of Erikson's stages of psychological development, and I think in older age it's despair versus integrity. So, yeah, learning those lessons of impermanence, this will pass. One can get caught in a belief that this new symptom of deterioration is permanent. Okay, what Gil Fronsdal, a wonderful meditation teacher, calls the delusion of permanence. How do we hold old age in that? In Buddhist philosophy, the teaching of the three heavenly messengers is so helpful. It talks about sickness, old age, and death. Okay, three heavenly messengers. Sickness, old age, and death. I think they're called the heavenly messengers as they invite us to reflect that no one is exempt from at least one, if not all three, of these messengers. The cause of death is life, right? And to ignore this is to live a life of delusion. Or as Tara Brach says, the cause of death is being born and it accelerates at every dinner party. In the advice and query I've just read, the invitation is to approach these heavenly messengers with courage and hope. Everything that has the nature to live has the nature to die. And as I write this in the new warmth of spring, I can also affirm and know for myself the cyclical nature of death and life. We're right to be hopeful. There's a reality to it, a truth to it. I also think that it takes years of practice. Well, with all those little deaths, right, that life sends our way. The death of a relationship, a job, a stage of life. All invite us to practice this letting go, letting go. And it leads us forward into something that's sort of bigger than our little life. You know, sometimes I get feeling that I'm caught up in the Carolyn show and it's just forgetting that bit and looking out into something that's bigger, not just the Carolyn show. Something towards a big life. So I think an image I find really helps is the image of a wave that eventually loses its form and becomes the ocean again. It never stopped being the ocean, right? But we forget that we're the ocean and we get really caught, really attached to this wave form, this bit of the ocean that's me. But sooner or later, the wave, it loses its energy and yields into the wider sea. Can we be okay with that? Can we practice it, this letting go of our personal wave shape? And of course, one of the big tasks of letting go is contained in the next part of the advice. As far as possible, make arrangements for your care and good time. So the clinging to things, including our homes and our property, what again Gil Fronsdal calls selfing. My stuff, my home, my health. We can get so attached to these things that they have a hold on us, preventing us from making the practical arrangements that we need to make. I think Quakers do have a big advantage in that with any luck, they've practiced a kind of non-attachment to things, which our testimony to simplicity really encourages in us. But even so, it is very natural to experience many little deaths in the process of shedding our homes, downsizing, or letting go of belongings, or in the mental work of planning our end-of-life care, lasting power of attorneys, etc. So though it can bring increasing loneliness and disability, this advice and query says it can also bring serenity, detachment, and wisdom. Oh, it's such a hopeful sentence, isn't it? And that speaks again to Erickson, that American psychologist describes. You know, we can go with despair, this loneliness and disability, and we can go with integrity. And I'm not sure that it's an either or. I'm pretty sure there are going to be moments of loneliness and disability which can feel really desperate. And then maybe something about growing through that to integrity. I don't know. And perhaps it's pointing to a real acknowledgement that serenity, detachment, wisdom are the gifts of older adulthood. Integrity, if we can face with courage and hope that pull, that, you know, and the pull towards despair. I think always seems to me at the heart of these advice and queries is this invitation to cultivate this contemplative heart, this taking heed to love and truth. I think so. So James Finley writes that we must vow to ourselves, I will not play the cynic. I will not break faith with my awakened heart. So I guess I believe that our commitment to centering down, contemplative practice, gives us the chance to see cynicism and despair clearly and hold it with a kind of equanimity. You know, this too will pass. Richard Rohr talks in his book The Immortal Diamond that there are many old people who are not elders, that somehow they haven't managed to engage with the heavenly messengers to allow all the little deaths and come to trust the wider ocean that is their true nature. So we'll explore the wider ocean, hopefully together next. And so I'll invite you just to get comfortable, sat for a while. You maybe need to wriggle or take a deeper breath. And I'm going to invite you just to drop your attention down the center, find your center. I like to think of it sometimes like a core rod of light, or, you know, like cathode or anode. You have this sort of strong rod that goes right down. We can find our center and follow it down. Just breathe there. This poem is called Fearsome Hope. Fearsome hope is the farmer singing to the seeds as they recklessly grow. It is the quiet Quaker hope so, heart whispered. It is a decision to plant one's flag in the land of faith, not fear. Such a tender thing, so little believed, I pledge my allegiance to you once and for all. It is not the galloping into the future of deluded imaginings or gorging like a starved pony on overgreen grass, but the quiet staying of the hand to let the seed grow and hum, hum, hum our yes to its life. It is not the galloping into the future of deluded imaginings or gorging like a starved pony on overgreen grass, but the quiet staying of the hand to let the seed grow and hum, hum, hum your yes to its life. So as we bring our attention to the gentle rising and falling of the breath, and you might like to allow the breath to travel up and down that rod of light that goes through the body from the sit bone to the top of the head. And as you breathing out, you might imagine that you're just letting go a little bit more. can be helpful to imagine an ice cube that's melting and just letting go into the water that's holding it. And if you like, you can drop in the question, what am I clinging on to? What am I holding on to? What am I holding on to? You might ask the question, what am I believing about this thing I'm clinging to? What would it be like to let it go? as you come to the end of this, just let yourself be held in the wider ocean, this ocean of love and light that George Fox described. You feel it welcoming you, cherishing you, holding you. Perhaps sense how much you belong to the ocean. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes and come back together. Thank you so much, friends. So I'm going to open up the breakout rooms, and the invitation is to explore any aspect of this advice and query and where your centering down led you, what that was like for you. Did something arise for you about something that you're clinging to? So it's a time to share and to listen, to lean in. And I'll put us into two groups, I think. Let's see if I can do this. Good. Go well, and I'll see you in about 15 minutes. So welcome, and we're just wondering if you'd like to say something that you want to sort of take away with you from this evening, that you've a little something that you've learned or discovered or heard that you think, oh yeah, I want to download that, press save on that bit. Elaine, would you like to start? And you're on mute at the moment. You're on mute at the moment, Elaine. Hold on.
No one long enough for me to learn to unmute myself. Anyhow, I suppose it's about letting go and realising you don't know how things are going to be. That I've seen my mother's experience, I've seen other people's experience, but I was with such a lovely group, and Anne Stone just reminded us of the Tibetan Book of the Dead and how you can center yourself and just say, attend, remember. And that seemed very powerful. I'm grateful.
Thank you, Elaine. Anne Reed?
I'm taking away deep gratitude for the mindfulness session we had. It was really deep and lovely. Thanks, Carolyn. And I'm also taking away, somebody in our group said, every day is sacred. And that just felt really, really good.
Mm. Thank you. And Stone.
I feel like saying ditto. You know, everything that has been said is just so beautiful. In our little group, so far, you've got three of the four of us. Jennifer is also in our group. We just had this feeling of really real closeness, like being neighbors. And I especially loved and settled in so beautifully to your voice and your beautiful way of sharing, of guiding us into a depth that, a real deep, special place. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Jennifer.
Apart from the fact that our group was really, really nice and the meditation was really great, I think that last sentence of this advice and queries, pray that in your final years you may be able to find new ways of receiving and reflecting God's love. I think that maybe for me it's going to have to be a little bit more than pray. It might be practice, actively engage. And it can be what Elaine said and Anne said as well, in terms of finding ways to center yourself, finding ways to hold on to yourself. But I think it's going to have to be an active way of finding ways to keep serenity and integrity rather than just hoping that it will happen. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Catherine.
Yes, again, a very profound group. I think we'd all agree. I think what's great with this and the Sunday evening thing is that it's a safe space where people can really be honest and really say what's going on for them. And that's incredibly precious. And I really appreciate people saying, really speaking the truth of what's happening in their lives. I think it's fabulous. Thank you.
Thank you. John.
Well, I've been so grateful to all of you for the example you've been setting up of being able to mature and move on. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Valerie.
After today's session, I feel a renewed sense of belonging and self-acceptance that I've been working to cultivate for a while now, and today I felt a little falter, but even considering where I'm at today or where I was in the moment of that falter compared to where I kind of was emotionally just a few months ago, it's remarkable. So I'm able to recognize that falter isn't the end of the world. And just grateful for everything that you all shared today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So thank you all so much. So next month, I'm not here on the last Monday of the month, so we're going to do it on June the 4th. We'll put it forward a month, forward a week. But you're all very welcome to join our Sunday evening at 7 o'clock for an hour. We're exploring forgiveness for the next two Sundays. You're all very, very welcome to join that. Just use this link, same link, and jump in on a Sunday at 7. Good. Well, so good to see you. Have a wonderful week. And if I don't see you on Sunday, I'll see you on the 3rd of June. Warm wishes, everyone. Should we unmute on three and say go well? 1, 2, 3. Go well.
Go well.
Go well.
Go well.
Go well.
Go well.
Thank you.
Thank you.